I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
We're on the radio from 1 to 4. After 4 o'clock, you can hear the same show as a podcast on the iHeart app, John and Ken on demand.
You done?
No, I've got more.
Sure, I want to hear more. Obviously, you're half the show. A lot of times, more like two-thirds, but sure.
Fine, I won't say anything today. You go ahead.
Nothing matters today, by the way. The show is kicking off with really the topic of nothing matters. Because we're going to get into two big existential threats. This is big news. Why you should just ignore everything else and just enjoy your life or whatever's little left of it. The big story from the science field is what's probably going to happen to us. For the first time, astronomers witnessed a star gobble up an entire planet. And according to experts, they believe that eventually that is the fate of the Earth. We will be gobbled up by some dying star.
The sun.
Planetary engulfment.
Sounds painful.
They spotted a gas planet like Jupiter, but possibly even larger, as it was swallowed up by an aging sun-like star about 12,000 light years from Earth. How about that?
You know,
now they've decided that this has happened, but they've never, as they say, caught a star in the act of devouring a planet until now. This is almost hard to even grasp that they could, quote, see this.
I've heard about this since I was in high school.
Oh,
because I had a friend. He and I always used to joke about this. You know, that one day we're going to get swallowed up by the sun. So what does this matter? I was 16 and I felt that way.
Or ever discuss whether or not it would happen in your lifetimes or?
Well, nobody knows anything. I mean, the odds are against it happening in our lifetimes, but it could. Usually it happens when the star or our sun is dying and it starts to bloat up.
Right.
And then as it gets larger, it engulfs the planets, and then you're gone. So we're just all going to get sucked into the sun one day.
A lot of this comes from I think it's a man, Kishale D. His last name is D.E. A NASA Einstein Fellow. That's a good one to be a NASA Einstein Fellow.
Yeah, that's a smart guy.
At MIT. That's a pretty good school, too. And just so you have an idea of the timeline of this, His quote is, we're really seeing what the Earth is going to run into 5 billion years from now. All right, so it's not around the corner.
No,
but
no, there'd be signs that the sun is dying.
Oh,
the astronomer
hotter or a little.
Well, the astronomers would pick
now,
up.
Now wait a minute. Wait a minute. The fact that we could see the northern lights last week. Remember, there were bursts of plasma coming off the sun.
Sure.
Is that an indication that something's wrong? It's dying.
That's like.
I really make something up here?
Well, you could. You can just make stuff up. Everybody is.
I'm saying, is that a symptom?
It's like indigestion.
Having a bad episode after.
Had bad pizza.
After it consumed another planet.
Right.
It got this reaction. Not enough Pepto.
No, yeah, so the sun was...
And it belched out some plasma. Is that what
right,
it was?
Right, right. And that's hit our magnetic field and caused the northern lights.
Yeah, you know, they were seen again the other day in some northern states. It kind of happened again. Right. I'm just trying to put one story together with another and... say that the sun now is ready to engulf us just because I like to create panic.
See,
and I know you do, so.
Oh, I do. No, I'm looking forward to this. But I just don't think it's going to happen. I mean, the odds are against our sun.
Oh, I know.
You know, engulfing
maybe in 5 billion years.
But no, I've openly rooted for comets, asteroids, you know, whatever's floating out there to direct hit, and let's see what happens.
Now, Dr. D said they were using the Zwicky Transient Facility. Is that for homeless people? It's a camera.
It will
on a telescope at the Palomar. Yes, it will be at the Palomar Observatory. It's funny to see that word transient in a story, and it's right. Not about homeless people. The Zwicky Transient Facility. This is at the Palomar Observatory in California. They did this in May of 2020 looking for something completely different. They were looking for merging stars called red novas. But they stumbled across this curious burst of visible light. And it took them this long to analyze it and analyze it again. And that's what they think they ended up seeing was a dying star.
Imagine
gobbling up a planet.
Imagine seeing something that nobody has ever seen before.
That's got to be cool.
And of course, this happened 12,000 years ago. But it took that long for the light from this star to reach Earth.
Yeah, that's also hard to wrap your head around.
Yeah.
It happened 12,000 years ago.
It was real time 12,000 years ago. So this is the reason I root for all these things happening is because I am so fed up with hearing about everybody's petty little Earth problems all day and night. You know, reading the news and all the petty stupid things that everybody does and just the constant blah, 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 blah of the world, right?
Right.
Everybody's got their causes. Everybody's got, you know, their complaints and this and that. It's like, look at this. Look how insignificant you are. You couldn't possibly be more insignificant. And you're ranting and raving and carrying on like your existence matters. It doesn't.
What they observed, they believe, was a star at about 5,000 degrees Fahrenheit. This is actually 10 times colder than the normal temperature, which is telling you it was dying, right?
Yeah.
Because it was only at 5,000 degrees. They observed the star again, this time in infrared light using another camera, and it turned out to be brilliant at infrared. And it dawned on them that they're most likely watching a star gulping down a planet in real time.
Yeah.
His first reaction was disbelief. They've studied planetary engulfment, but they've never had any images. That's really... Cool.
You know, I think that's the dream of any astronomer is, you know, you're scanning the skies constantly and trying to understand the universe. And then the one in a billion chance you're there when something unusual happens and you're the first person in the entire human race to witness it.
That's... Now, the other story about the existential threats that awake us is more real world. And this is the story that Russia is claiming that Ukraine has tried a drone attack against the Kremlin to take out Putin. And I did see somebody forwarded us a tweet from someone who really went to overdrive about this, but is believing this will lead to World War III.
I could.
That Russia will not take this lightly. They will go all out to destroy Ukraine now because they came for the big guy.
Well, yeah, I mean, if this is happened, this is the Kremlin reporting it, they do have video.
Did you see the little explosion over the Kremlin?
Right, apparently there was a bit of a fire in the wing that houses the Russian Senate. from one of the two drones, and the other one never reached its target. They shot them down. And you can see in the video the flash of light. Now, they're wondering if the Kremlin staged this, though. Is this some
kind of... is called a false flag.
False
flag. It's your favorite, yes.
That's right. There's a false flag on the field.
They did this on purpose. They staged this to make it look like Ukraine did this as an excuse to go and really just go all out, maybe with nukes.
I guess on Russian media, they're running with this 24/7, this terrible atrocity that their grand leader was targeted for assassination.
It's a good idea to get the people behind you.
Those dirty Nazi Ukrainians. Sure, that's what it is.
Yeah, so they're not too concerned about all the dead soldiers that have come about thanks to the invasion of Ukraine.
His residence is there, but they claim he wasn't there that night, and that could be misinformation, too.
Yeah, it says it was 2:30 a.m. local time. The first drone appears to hit the dome of the Kremlin Senate, causing an eruption of flames. A second drone appears to explode over the Senate dome. Two people are visible on the roof during the second explosion. It doesn't say if anybody got hurt. Ukraine, of course, says we did not do this.
And
now, there was a story last week that they tried to get him when he was going to visit a site. Remember that? That a drone ended up exploding before it reached Putin was supposed to visit.
They could be sending up their own drones and shooting him down.
That's possible.
The Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, said that any accounts from Russia should be taken with a very large shaker of salt.
Hmm.
So it sounds like he's not buying it at face value.
Not a grain.
And let's see, who's it? Mikhailo Podolyak, one of President Zelensky's advisors in Ukraine, said the Russians' accusations were predictable and likely signaled that Moscow is planning a large-scale terrorist attack. Like, they've set this up to justify whatever horrible thing they're going to do to Ukraine next.
Yeah, the feeling is still that they got to go big here because this year and, couple of months now, it's gotten drawn out. They're probably just... I thought he would have lost patience long before now, but that's why John has a bunker. So
that's why I have a bunker. Makes me think I got to do a supply check tonight.
You might. Because it's possible.
Just make sure somebody didn't pilfer my supplies.
A shoplifter?
Are we still invited?
I'm not going.
You're not?
Stop saying we. No.
No,
I'd rather die than be in a bunker with you two.
Oh, jeez, Ken. That's pretty harsh.
Nah.
Wow.
Well, if you change your mind, don't go banging on my bunker door.
I will not, but you're stuck with her, so good luck. All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI. Oh, what's coming up too is money. All right, we still have to exist for today. You can win $1,000 with a keyword. KFI AM 640 live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
All right, coming up after 2 o'clock, another reason why this country is really now enveloped in an illegal immigration crisis is that the shooter and the victims... In a horrible story out of Texas, 5 people killed were all mostly illegal aliens. They have captured the shooter, or the man they believe is the shooter, and they've arrested other people, too, for aiding and abetting. We'll talk about all this with Alex Stone and a big roundup on the story coming up after the news at 2 o'clock. Now, speaking of Mexico, we spent a lot of time on this show in the past few months on the scourge of fentanyl. And it was a big deal this week that the U.S. government wanted to make it very clear. We talked a lot about El Chapo years ago. Remember Joaquin El Chapo Guzman, who's serving a life sentence? He was the Sinaloa cartel boss who was captured once and then escaped from prison. And the next time they captured him, the Mexicans turned him over to us for prosecution.
He's in a
U.S.
security
jail,
prison now.
Yeah, he's in a U.S. maximum security prison. I think he's in Colorado or somewhere.
Nobody gets out of there.
But, the drug business must go on. So the people that took over for him are his sons. And El Chapo's business was cocaine. But the sons decided that there's more money to be made and there's more of a future in fentanyl. And they have established a network of labs that churn out massive quantities of fentanyl on the cheap, smuggling huge quantities into the United States. The U.S. government says that the cartel is out to manufacture the most potent fentanyl and sell it to the U.S. at the lowest price.
Mm-hmm. And this is why you have 70,000 people dying of fentanyl poisoning every year, including 5,000 here in California. A lot of them teenagers. This is the reason. And for some reason, you have weirdos like State Senator Scott Wiener, who doesn't want to prosecute the sellers, the local sellers of fentanyl. He wants to protect them, Senator yeah. Weirdo. And but it all leads back to the top. These two sons of El Chapo, they're at the top of the pyramid.
It says here that fentanyl now kills more Americans every year than died in Vietnam, Iraq, and Afghanistan combined.
Yeah.
And that's why some Republicans are making noise that these drug cartels are like terrorist organizations. And we need to do some U.S. military intervention. Clearly, though, we're not at war with Mexico, but we'd be at war with the cartels. And if they won't clean up the problem, somebody has to.
You know, it's so easy for the cartels to do this. According to Mike Vigil, he used to run a department for the Drug Enforcement Administration, that the labs, we call them labs, but he goes, really, they're nothing more than metal tubs. And they use wooden paddles and shovels to mix the chemicals. And one cook can press fentanyl into 100,000 fake pills every day. And they label them as Xanax, Percocet, or oxycodone.
Yeah, I mean, the story says this all started when people started getting huge prescriptions of the synthetic opioid oxycodone. And as the U.S. clamped down on prescriptions, well, and users moved to heroin. That's when the Sinaloa cartel happily supplied it. But fentanyl is a game changer. And the important thing here, and they actually talked to a security expert in Mexico named Alejandro Hope, he's a security analyst who, strangely enough, died last Friday. Looks like natural causes. I looked up the reasons behind it. But he laid out the real reasons for this. The problem with fentanyl is not that it's a drug problem. It's a poisoning problem. Very few people go out deliberately looking for fentanyl. And that's something we've talked about mm-hmm. over and over again. It's put in these pills that people think is just another oxycodone pill or a Percocet. And they end up ingesting fentanyl, and they didn't intend to do that. So that makes this different.
Yeah, I should clarify that the cartel cook that makes 100,000 counterfeit pills, that's every day. That's every day.
Right.
And they sell them at 50 cents per pill, but they make a massive profit on each one of those pills, and they're reaping in billions and billions. This is the most lucrative drug that the cartel has ever sold, because they can make it really fast, really cheap, and even at 50 cents a pill, which isn't much, they're making huge profits. And they make these pills, and they're not sure how much fentanyl is in these fake pills.
And that's the problem, because the narcotic dose of fentanyl is so close to the lethal dose that a pill that a person thinks is just going to get them high could easily kill them.
Well, if they're mixing the ingredients in a metal tub with a shovel, that is not exactly a quality control method that the FDA would approve of. Look at that. Look at it. It's gotten even up. Between August of 2021 and August of 2022, 107,000 Americans died from drug overdoses, most of them from synthetic opioids, fentanyl. 57 million fentanyl-laced pills were grabbed by the DEA, and that's just a small fraction of what was manufactured. So when you see these drug busts that they show on the news, and you go, wow, that's a big drug bust. That's a real dent. No, it's not. 57 million was no dent.
So we're talking about this family. They call them the Chapitos. The sons, El Chapo's sons, are known as Chapitos, little offspring.
Little chops.
Yeah, in fact, one of them is Ovidio Guzman Lopez. His nickname is the Mouse. He actually did get arrested in January, and the U.S. government has requested extradition to bring him back here like they did to his father. But there's a whole bunch of other ones involved in this.
And we have thousands of fentanyl addicts lining the beautiful streets of Los Angeles County, and yet our representatives here in L.A. County, people like Reggie Sawyer Jones, I think he's in the assembly, James Bradford is in the state Senate. They represent this area. They have people dying in their districts, and they're on the public safety committees that block the prosecution of the drug pushers.
Right.
I've never seen so many people in office who don't care if people die miserable deaths in the street. Some of them, a lot of them
And that's
just
the problem. They're treating this like it's just poorly addicted people. No, this is poisoning. This is different. As that security expert, I said, this is not the drug wars from 50 years ago or 30 years ago. This is actual drug poisoning.
They're not trying to buy fentanyl. They're trying to buy opioids, you know, painkillers. That's what they're trying to buy.
Even we had it wrong. We were calling it OD, all the OD from fentanyl.
No.
They're being poisoned because they didn't want to ingest fentanyl. That was not their decision.
Some of the kids think it's Ritalin or Adderall because they want a way to concentrate better to do their schoolwork. You know, you go to any high school library and they're passing around Adderall and Ritalin pills just to help them focus. And somebody's buying that from these cartel supplies.
All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days,
it would have been juicy.
The podcast would have taken a left turn. Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Michael Rappaport, and my wife, Kibi Rappaport, starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
We're on the radio from 1 until 4. After 4 o'clock, it's the podcast. Same show, podcast form, iHeart app, John and Ken on demand. So you never have to miss a single syllable.
All right, we had mentioned this story yesterday. It's worth spending some time on. It was another El Segundo Times special by Andrea Chang. That's a new name, though. I don't know that reporter name. Low wages, short hours drive many fast food workers into homelessness. They're getting the main grist for this story from something called the Economic Roundtable.
Is that a lie, though? I mean, headline is a blatant lie.
Which is claiming that 11% of all homeless workers in California and 9% in Los Angeles County work for fast food companies.
No job sends you into homelessness. No job does that. You chose the job. If it doesn't pay enough, it's up to you to get a better job.
But that's how it always worked.
And it still does that way, despite this Andrea Chang lie. Low wages and short hours doesn't make anyone homeless. You walked in there and you asked, well, what's the pay? And they'll tell you minimum wage. Oh, how many hours do I get? Well, maybe 30. And then you said yes. Did you say no or did you say yes? You could say no. It's like, you know, I'm going to go to a place that pays 20% more than minimum wage, and I'm going to work 40 hours a week, and I want overtime. Well, good. Go there. Why didn't you go there? Why'd you stay here? This is all we've got. I don't understand this. I am totally flummoxed. This is total horse manure.
Well, just like the homeless problem, they're trying to undo the way things have worked in terms of the very good system of supply and demand. And again, they always go back to corporate greed.
You know,
I was thinking about this yesterday, and this is what I want to say about that. The people who are in charge, who make these big salaries, they always attack. They have educations and experience and backgrounds, and they mostly earn their positions, and they take the risks. They ultimately take the biggest risks, particularly the investors in these companies. If you're a low-level worker delivering pizzas or putting fries from the basket into the bags, you're easily replaceable. That's not a high-skilled job. You didn't take a lot of risks to get it. So no one in the world owes you what you think is a living wage, and that's the other problem with this. What is a living wage? A single guy living on his own may only require $15 to $20 an hour, but somebody wants to raise a family and then has the mother-in-law moving in. Well, you got to pay him $40 an hour. This would get completely untenable if we went down this path where we have to pay people what they need to wait to, quote, make a living wage.
I'm looking at this, and almost every line is just absurd. When Jose De La Torre began delivering pizzas for Papa John's in 2019, he made $15 an hour. So he was, at the time, he was 50 years old.
That's a 53-year-old man, so that's the first problem.
He's 50 years old, and he shows up to deliver...
This is a job for a 19-year-old.
To deliver pizzas? Of course, nothing explains what happened to him for the first 50 years. He voluntarily goes to Papa John's. They say, okay, we'll give you $15 an hour, 30 hours a week. And now it's their fault? What did they do wrong? All he's doing is ringing doorbells and saying, pizza man here. What? Hello? And then he was sharing a one-bedroom apartment with six other people. Well, you're sharing an apartment with six other people at the age of 50, and all this is Papa John's fault. And then he started sleeping in his Nissan. I'd rather sleep in my Nissan than live with six other people in a one bedroom, but that's just me. And then they write, fast food workers make up 11% of all homeless workers. Well, they're probably homeless to begin with, and then they go get the job. The job doesn't necessarily make them homeless. They're homeless, and maybe they've got enough to stand up straight and be a pizza delivery guy.
Yeah,
and they get whacked out on drugs the rest of the day.
Oh, you make a good point. Why is the fast food industry the enemy here? This particular guy, Mr. De La Torre, with his skills and his experience, where else is he going to go work where he's going to make more than the $15 an hour they're paying him? What? Is there some magic job out there that would say, oh, yeah, we'd love to hire you and pay you $30 an hour? Sure. And don't forget the other thing about this. This is what makes fast food places cheap and why a lot of people eat there. Not only that it's quick and it's disgustingly fat and yummy, but it's also because they're often inexpensive, the meals. So that helps the poorer people on the other end. And as one guy said, oh, this benefits everybody but the workers. Customers get cheap and efficient meals while the fast food companies make billions of dollars annually.
Then don't take the job. Don't take the job. Eventually, they're not going to have workers at these fast food restaurants. I said the other day that there's already three McDonald's in the country that are entirely automated. Not a single employee. You have robots and automation creating your food.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
People order at kiosks and then the food comes out by conveyor belt or something?
I haven't seen it. But
Bring back the automats, right?
I heard a radio news report. It's like they now have three fully automated McDonald's.
Oh.
And you could see it's not that hard if, I guess somebody's got to load the patties into the machine and the French fries, but all that can be done automatically, just like the way factories make processed food, right? And package them.
You could see this, yeah.
Yeah.
So
eventually there's going to be no jobs in the fast food industry, let alone minimum wage jobs. At 50, how did you miss the first 50 years of planning and making decisions so you could make more than $15,000 a year? They say that's the average median salary, $15,000 for cooks, cashiers, food prep workers, and dishwashers. You know, many of my friends in high school had these jobs. None of us had these jobs by the time we got to college.
That was the case with me. My brother worked at McDonald's for a couple of years, when he was in high school,
I remember we had a fast food place called Geno's. That was a chain back east years ago. And several of my friends worked there. And we never sat down and said, wow, you know, this is a career here. I love this. I love flipping the burgers, shaking the fry basket, taking the order. Yeah, this is what they went to college.
Well, one of my friends did both. He went to college, but he worked. Remember good old Roy Rogers fried chicken?
Yeah.
Yeah, he worked there too, but he eventually became the manager.
Well, you get into management, yes.
Right.
That's what
he ran a few of them, and then eventually ended up owning a Dunkin' Donuts on his own.
Yeah.
Owning it, the franchise. So.
Right. That's the path up if you want to get into that industry. But you don't stop at flipping the burgers. You survey the scene and say, okay, I can manage this. I can handle employees. I can make the system work. And then you put enough money away, and then, okay, I'm going to buy one of these places. Yeah, I'm sure a lot of executives at these fast food companies started out as low-level employees. But good Lord, I mean, I'm just so had it with this. This is total bull crap. Absolute total horse crap.
All right, when we come back, we'll take you to a state that actually endorses and does spend money on the John Cobalt plan for the homeless. Find out who that is and what they're doing. Johnny Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Hawaii has adopted the John Cobalt program of dealing with the homeless. They're going to pay homeless people to go back home. Actually, they've been doing this, but they have a program where they put even more money into it.
Yeah,
they are paying homeless people to go back to the mainland as long as they have someone to welcome and house them there. But really, do you think they follow up on that? Do they send somebody from Hawaii to the state of Texas or New York and check on whether or not the homeless person that they paid to send back there has somebody that's welcoming them and housing them there?
I can't imagine. I can't imagine they'd care. I mean, I would just put them on the plane. I mean, if they're going to want to make their way back, they got to work for it.
I think that's in practicality what happens. They just put them on the plane. The Hawaii-backed plan is to provide $100,000 in airfare over each of the next two fiscal years to send homeless people back to the mainland. It says here that apparently, it belies the persistent urban legend that Hawaii's homeless population is driven by cities, counties, and state governments on the mainland that send their homeless people to the islands. I don't know if that's true. I was in Hawaii back in the end of 2021, and I did see a number of homeless people, particularly on Oahu, and they didn't look Hawaiian to me.
Yeah, see, that's the thing.
They didn't look native Hawaiian to me at all. No. They were a bunch of grungy-looking white guys, all dirty, drug-addled, scrambling around. I was kind of shocked, but then I thought, well, homeless people all over Southern California. No one thought that would be the case 10 years earlier.
You got to beg for enough money to buy a flight, and then you're there. And
Or somebody sends you there. That's the claim here. They think that New York State is doing this.
I'm sure they are. You know, there's a lot of this going on because who wants to put up with this? You can't fix these people. The addictions are not fixable. And the mental illness is not fixable. If you have somebody who legitimately just their expenses exceeded their income for a time and, they doubled the rent in their building, right? Something like that. Those people will sort out their life. They'll make rational decisions. They'll find somebody to live with for a time. They'll go get a better job that pays more. Going back to that story we had before about fast food doesn't pay so little. You know, 10% of the fast food workers are homeless. Most people don't end up that way. They make rational decisions to get out of those situations. And I look with my own eyes. I don't need any census, any statistics, any research done. I look with my own eyes in the streets. I know there's 10 million jobs out there that are unfilled. I know the unemployment rate is ridiculously low, like 3.5%. So if there's 10 million jobs, the unemployment rate is 3.5%, and I'm looking at a guy with crazy bugged out eyes, no pants, wild hair, he's waving his arms. I'm saying, you know, there's no rehab program that fixes this. This is not a guy down on his luck. This is a guy who got either screwed up with drugs or he's got a biological deteriorating brain disorder. Beginning and end of the story. So I don't have to pay for his mess. I have no compassion for this.
Now, in Hawaii, it looks like they actually do this. Several organizations do this together. Not only is the government paying for this, the Hawaii Lodging and Tourism Association works with something called the Institute for Human Services, which operates Hawaii's biggest homeless shelters. They all work together on trying to get the homeless people back to the mainland. But, you know, it's pretty simple. You talk to a guy and he does admit to you, yeah, you know, I'm from Florida. All right, well, you know, you got any relatives there? Anybody we can call? And I imagine they do make an effort to find somebody in Florida that you know. So at least you know what town or city to fly you to.
Mm-hmm.
I think, and we both decided this, they don't follow up. Once they put you on the plane, that's the end of that.
Yeah, guy gets off the plane. Maybe he goes back to his parents or
but
not.
You're thinking he can't afford to come back to Hawaii again away. So he'll end up sleeping somewhere there where he came from.
It's going to take a while. It's going to be a hassle.
One legislator actually spent money from his own pocket to send more than 50 homeless people back to the mainland and their families. State Representative John Mizuno.
And he's the one who thinks that the politicians in New York are dumping the vagrants in Hawaii.
Well, I said this to somebody the other day I was walking with. We have a laundromat in town, right? And you walk by because I go there often. There's some restaurants nearby. It's, you know, public laundromats are not, they're often seedy places, right?
Yeah,
I know. Woof is the way to put it, right? This one, you know, well, it's a little better than most.
But put my clothes.
There's been a woman in there. I can't tell you how many months. She's actually in a wheelchair, which is kind of sad, a heavy woman. And she sits there at a counter on the laundromat. And apparently she's there all day and night because she's sleeping. Just the other day, went in there, looked around. There's nobody in there. And they put up a little piece of tape on the wall. No loitering, no soliciting. My point of this story is they got rid of her.
Yeah. Right?
She did it for months. They probably had to talk with her a few times, but they figured out something to get rid of her. Now, whether or not they took her and wheeled her to downtown LA to Skid Row, I don't know. But that is the quiet truth as to how communities deal with homelessness rather than all the nonsense that LA puts up with and allows and doesn't do anything about and then just talks about spending more money.
These
other communities find a way to get that person somewhere else.
Right.
Whether it's actually in a shelter, I don't know. Maybe she ended up in a nice place.
LA decided
good thoughts about it
to create a high-paying industry. This was a job creation plan that they put together for this homeless stuff. They sold it with compassion, work to help our unhoused neighbors, all that Garcetti rot. No, what it was is it was a job creation machine. And they created thousands and thousands of nonprofit jobs to help the homeless, except nobody actually got helped. It attracted more, but that made the machine even bigger. You could have more nonprofits who hire more people, who make more money. That's the model here. You have to attack the whole premise. I don't think there's more than a few people, a handful of people in the whole homeless industry who give a rat's ass about any of the homeless. I don't think they care. I think like Andy Bales might be one of the exceptions and some of the people who work for him. But most of these nonprofits, they don't care. And I, just makes me nuts that everybody plays along. Oh, yes, yes. They, all these people care. They run these compassionate agencies. No, you're not trying to help. No, you're not. You know you're not. You're just stealing tax money. It's a good racket.
Andy Bales is one of the few people that calls it like it really is.
Yeah.
Somebody who's actually involved in the front end.
From the Union Rescue Mission.
The homeless. Yeah, Union Rescue Mission. I mean, read his stuff. Listen to our interviews with him. Probably the only person we can find from that part of the homeless industrial complex that gets it. I don't think there's anybody else you've ever talked to. Maybe a couple of politicians.
Because he genuinely wants to help. That's his nature. He's a reverend, right? He really is that guy. And the rest of them, it's just another business. It is like selling fast food for them, or shoes, or any other product. They're just selling. They're profiting off the system. They don't care about. Otherwise, we would not have thousands of people dying in the streets every year.
All right. When we return, Alex Stone, ABC News, will be back on the show. He was on a couple of days with us a couple of days ago to talk about the Texas murder suspect. The man that apparently was firing off a gun in his backyard, his neighbors told him to stop. It was disturbing them. He went over there and killed five of them. Well, they caught him last night in a laundry basket, hiding under a pile of laundry in a closet. And they've arrested other people, too. Get all the details. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
And Deborah Mark live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.